Okay, it's kedai to quote a few lines. We find that the Rosh himself writes in the Shalos Teshuvos Rosh, it's in Klal Kuf Zayin, and he writes regarding a din Torah or litigation, and really a machlokes that became very, very heated and very intense between two people in Spain. And the names are as follows. The Rosh writes, Aloido is divrei rivois shenis atzmu bohem. Regarding, he says, the quarrel between, he says, two rivals. One was Rabbi Shlomo ben Albagel, and the other one was Rabbi Yisrael ben El Chadad. He says, Ze yomim vishonim. This is not a matter, he says, of weeks or months. This is already years going on. Years of litigation between these two people. And he says, "V'huchlefu kama moinim." They exchanged back and forth medin Yisrael ledinumas oilam and medinumas oilam ledin Yisrael. Bezin court, court bezin, bezin court, back and forth, back and forth. He said, "This is going on for years." And it seems that with all the batadim that they were there, and with all the court situation, they still did not come to any some sort of a settlement. No, so what happened? The Atan is Galgal Adover, so the Rosh writes, so what happened is, I receive a message, he says, from the queen herself. Interesting, it must have gotten such public press. And he writes, Shebo Haloim, there came messengers, he says, Givirotenu, our mistress, you know, Givirotenu Hamalke Minoshim Bo'oil Tevairach. It was very customary to give a bracha to the queen. Veheviuli Ksova. And they brought to me her message, Shehi Tzitzo Alai. That the queen commands me, she'ekach kol shtore ha'tainis, that I, the Rosh, should take all of the documents of all of the tainis, she'nasu b'zois ha'tfiyah regarding this claim, v'she'odun, and I shall judge, I shall be the final word, v'she'odun al pi tanuseim halolu, mimashi yearly, according to what it appears to me, b'kav ha'yoshev emes. In other words, what appears to me that this is going to be just, and this is going to be the truth. So the Rosh says, the truth is, you can see here the great Aniva, he's talking the great Rosh. The Rosh says, V'ha'emes, I have to tell you, the truth is, Ki koshali b'moid moid. As far as I'm concerned, if I had a choice, he says, I would pass on this one, he said. It's very difficult for me, Lishtadil b'din kosher kozeh, because if it's taking so many years, and these people don't want to agree on anything, Shinizgalgul zeh kamayonim. Now this din Torah, or this litigation, already passed and came. He said it rolled around lifnei anoshim yikorim v'nechbodim chachme Yisrael t'chachme umesoylam. So you had chachme umesoylam, you had very intelligent judges, and you had chachme Yisrael. And Sokolsov, after all of these, right, all of these great people who tried somehow, v'gam kehemo baladinim koshim, also they're very difficult people, he says. The litigants themselves are very difficult people. And they couldn't appease and find settlement in accepting the words. It's been great advice by given by so many chachomim, both, he says, from the Jewish side, he says, and from the chachomim soilom. So the Rosh says, after so many years, all these great chachomim couldn't solve it. Look at what he says. So how do you expect me, he says, now, he says, to pick up the little pieces, because I'm going to be starting in something which is going to be fresh from my part. He says, so really he says it would be difficult for me to accept it. Makol makoyim ani espi hamalko eshmer. But I'm going to do what the queen wants me to do. Queen wants me to do this, I'm going to accept it. The esma amora ani tzorech lekayim. And I have to be mekayim, he says, that which she asks from me. Mavakesh ani mahokel, but I ask a Kodesh Baruch Hu, because being here dealing with such difficult people, right, such a difficult situation, so the special tefillah, he says, Mavakesh ani mahokel shoyfei tzedek, sheyehei bezri, Kodesh Baruch Hu should stand by my side to help me. He says, to be able to sift, he says, the truth, he says, from the non-truth, v'ye'are ruach kodeshim memorim, Kodesh Baruch Hu should bestow upon me the Holy Spirit, Lodun din emes la'amitoi. So Rosh to Rosh. So this is an interesting tshuva in Klal Kuf Zayin. Interesting is that in another tshuva, the Rosh writes as follows. He says, I have given instructions to any dayan. Yeah, many times you have a din Torah, and the dayan, even though, you know, you don't have really proof that someone, let's say, might be lying or maybe misrepresenting, right, that which the Rosh says, if a dayan has to have a good nose, and if he sees that it's not going the right way, and it's not going to come out the emes, you know what? Recuse yourself and say, just let it go. In other words, don't get involved or it feels as if you started that you have to finish, he says. Don't finish if you don't feel that the truth is going to come out. And he writes as follows, V'mir eladayin shedin merumahu. The dayin says that this judgment here, or this case, is a din mitzvah, because that's the corruption involved. Yimnam lishtadl boysadin. You know what? You don't have to paskin everything. If you can't really feel you can do justice to the case, should be Meneya himself. V'chein ani yoyse. That's how I do also. I do the same thing. V'chein ani yoyse kishimivin lefonai seshtoris yishonim. Many times people bring proof from old documents. Documents so old, you know, that you don't really know how authoritative they are. Or maybe somehow they could have been forged or something. So when I get old documents to try to show them to prove this hearing, ani choyke v'dayrish, I investigate. L'hoitzi adin l'amitoy. And even I have no proof, but circumstantial evidence, something tells me it's not kosher. If I see, so what I say, not only I get out of it, I decree and I paskin, no dying. I don't allow any dying to get involved in this case. No dying should get involved in this case. And I give it to the hand, he says, of the defendant. Because if I see that the plaintiff is someone really is not going on the right road and the truth is not going to come out, so I give a document in the hands of the defendant, you know what? You try to do whatever you can so that it's out of the hands. That the yonim are not going to get involved anymore in such a case. The real truth cannot come out. So this is another thing, interesting thing, reflection of the Rosh regarding Dine HaTorah and so on. There is interesting writing, personal writing that was found from the son of the Rosh himself, Rabbeinu Yehuda ben Arosh, who mentioned the Rosh had quite a number of children. And the Meshech Advan, we hope to discuss some of the children of the Rosh. All of them Gedoy L'Torah, again overshadowed by the father of the Rosh. Probably the most famous of them is the Balaturim. Right? Balaturim stands head and shoulders above many great people, the Balaturim, and goes down to this day, becomes one of the major sources of Psak. And of course the Shulchan Aruch was based on the tours. So Rabbi Yehuda ben Arosh writes as follows. I want you to know, he said, you know, we were Ashkenazim, we were in Germany. That's where we were born, and that's where we were raised, and that's where our main learning started from, certainly. And he writes the following, he says, interesting, a little account, we have a few lines here, where he writes the reason that, really the real reason, which prompted my father to leave Germany, the Rosh, and to go to Spain, and live in a Sephardic community. He writes as follows. He says, "Visibo." He says, "Liyetzias Adoni Oviz Achroinol of Rocha." The reason that my father left Ma'ashkenaz. Well, the story, as we know, he said many times. It begins one way. It begins with Nitfisas Harabenu Meir Marotenberg, because right, the Rebbe of the Rosh, who was the God Lador, was the Maram Rotenberg, but he was the one that was imprisoned. Shetofso Yehodn Hamoishel, the ruler. Right, they grabbed him and they imprisoned him. Now he writes the following account. It's a little bit different than the Marshal. So this has to be more closer to, this has to be more factual, because this is the son of the Rosh writing. This was something that was found later. The Marshal did not have that. And he writes that the Kehillas of Ashkenaz, as a matter of fact, they had committed themselves an exorbitant amount of money to redeem the Rosh from prison, to ransom him. And the ruler, the emperor, however, he said, did not trust the communities that committed themselves, and he wanted the Rosh themselves to sign as a guarantor, that he stands behind it. So whatever the amount was, tremendous amount of money, but the Rosh didn't want to accept anybody else to be a co-signer on the commitment, only the Rosh, he says. He did not want anybody else to be a co-signer. And the Rosh had no choice, because he wanted more than anything in the world to be able to redeem his Rebbe, right, the God Lador. And therefore the Rosh went into it, and he really became the Orev, the guarantor, to sign on it. Interesting, but before they raised the money, before they managed to raise the money, the Maram dies in prison. It's a little bit different than the account. You might remember the account that the Mashal brings to the Gittin, that the matter of fact, they were ready and they all had the money, but the Maram did not allow. They said, why? Because he did not allow extortion, because he says it'll only begin and end over here, but then a new one will start over again, because once they realize that this is a way of extorting money, so, you know, you ransom one godel, then they're going to kidnap a second godel, throw in a fourth one. There's no end to that. So that was, but this account is a little bit different. This account is not that, no, they actually had raised the money already, before they had managed to get the money, where the Maram dies in Tfisa. So what comes, so do you still have to give ransom money? So comes the emperor wants the money. So the emperor says, listen, being that he died before he got out, so he's not out yet. So you, the Rosh, are still bachrais to see that we get the money. Even though he's not alive. We didn't say dead or alive. He's still in jail. You want him out of jail? Well, he died in jail. Well, you want his body out? We still want the money. So this is what they did. So they went. He said, Ba'omroi, the ruler said, Ki ma'acha sheniftar b'tfisa. These are the words of Rabbeinu Yehuda ben Rosh, who's writing this. The Rosh's son is writing this. The emperor said that being that the Maram died in jail, koidim shepotroi menamasa, before he was freed. Right? Shaba'achriyusoi nifter. So it's in the cries of the Rosh. And therefore the Kehilas have to see to it to raise the money and bring the money. So what did the Rosh do? Do I simply slipped out of the situation? V'nishma b'lfonov. V'holach li'racheres. And the Rosh really went to another city. And he knew that sooner or later they're going to look for him and search for him. Mipnei yiras ha'malchus yotzeh ma'ashkenaz. That's why he left Germany. He leaves Germany and he comes ultimately to the ear Tultil, as we said, to Toledo. Okay? So this is what happened. This is another thing which is not, which Rabbeinu Yehuda writes. So now the Rosh is in Spain. So they found out about it. Somehow they traced them down that the Rosh is in Spain. So writes here is Rabbeinu Yehuda ben Rosh. Ubishono Rishoino, the first year that my father was in Spain, there comes Mamish a tremendous letter of plea and begging that the Rosh come back to Germany from the government. There comes a letter, he says, Sholchol Iksav, he says, from the council. Shohair Shoyadorba, from the city that the Rosh used to live in, they come, he says, an official letter, Sheyazul Abesoy, he should come home. Not only that, we're going to send a contingency and an entourage of Hamishim Sarim Lakrosoy for the cover of the Rosh to bring him back, with the great honors. We're going to send 50 ministers, 50 officials, high ranking officials, Lakrosoy Atchil Ashkenaz, until he comes back to the beginning of Germany. So they're going to send a Kabbalah Sponim group, and they're going to be Mekabel Ponim and bring the Rosh back. And I don't know, what about the fact that the Rosh might be just some sort of a tactic? What about that he may be imprisoned himself? No. There's an official letter, Iksav Bitochim and Amelech. There's a letter signed, a document signed and sealed by the king, guaranteeing, he said, the safety of the Rosh. So the Rosh has all the guarantees. He had nothing to worry about. Just come back. And he says, why were they so desperate to get the Rosh back? So Rabbi Yehuda says, Gans Poshet. You know why? Okay, they knew the Chochmah of the Rosh. They knew the qualities of the Rosh. As a matter of fact, call in your name or your oisim ba'atzosoy. Very interesting thing. All of the difficult situations, he says, in governmental affairs, they needed advice, would always be done under the ace of the Rosh. They lost this tremendous advisor. They lost this great man. Because of all the gzeiris, but Rosh said, maybe I might be safe, he says. But all the type of gzeiris, he said, that are taking place in Ashkenaz, he said, it's not for me to be there. This is not a place for one to go back, certainly not to go back. And v'zois hois sibas bias adoin yovizal zois dahoris. And that was the reason that brought my father here, he says, to Spain. And he says, you know what? This was all planned by Kodesh Baruch Hu. Because you know what happened? He changed and turned Spain around. He writes, Umeis Hashem hoisezois, Lahamid, he says, Talmidim Rabim ba'aretzoy Sfarad. And all the country, all the lands, all around Spain, all the different cities and all the different places. The Rosh came, he changed it around. And it was a tremendous amount of bestoyer to many, many Talmidim, as we spoke about last time. They even came from outside of Spain, as far as Russia, even in those days. People came to the yeshiva of the Rosh. The Rosh, in addition to being the great Rosh Yeshiva, even the Marbis Torah, Sidkas Hashem u'mishpotav im Yisrael, he was a poisik, he was a dayim, everything, all the problems came to him. And he says, and being that in Sfarad, in Spain, you did not have a lot of Mefarshim, he says. The lot of Mefarshim, he says, on Talmud Bavli, Keloi hoya barotzo Yisrael perushim meduyokim, did not have, he said, really authentic perushim. So gam also the Talmud, so my father took upon himself the task to write perushim, upsokim, and so on, and so forth. He said, and that really changed, he says, at the face of Spain. That was a great koyach of the Rosh. So then he writes a little bit of a poem. He says, wherever my father's psokim and tshuvas yagiu, chukah keil v'toyrosav yoydiu. single rhyme. Wherever my father's psalm arrived, right, Yagiu, Chuke Hokel, the Teroisovs, Hashem's laws and Torah, Yoidiu. Ubonov Holchu Bedrachov, he writes. And the Rosh was Oiche that his children followed in his path. Loishinu Tamoy Ma'osher Shmein Alachmoy. We know by Osher, his name was Rabbeinu Osher. And we know Ma'osher Shmein Alachmoy, we find the Bruch of Yaakovino that Osher was Oiche that his bread will be rich. So he says the children did not change from that richness that the father had, talking spiritually. Loishinu Tamoy, the taste, you know, something is a good lechem has a good taste. They were not Mishana, he said Ma'osher Shmein Alachmoy. Yoitzroy, Notzroy, Kodesh Baruch Hu, Yoitzroy, his creator always watched over him. Bechol Mishmar, Ekev Ashim Sois of Shomar, because my father always was very meticulous in keeping mitzvahs. Lo Osher Omar, that was Yaakovinu said. Yaakovinu said to Osher, Baruch Mibonim Osher. Osher is blessed to having blessed children. My father, Rabbeinu Osher, was zeichet to have Baruch Mibonim Osher. Kulam Elitze Yosher. Again, rhyming. Osher, Yosher. All the Mamalitza Yosher, Hechziku Bedas Hokel Elikayoilam, they all embraced, they say, they embraced the Torah of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Mikotnam, he said, Vad Gedoilam, that rhymes with Oilam, Vihiginu Al Bnei Doiram Bepeulam, and they protected and they shielded their generation, he said, with the things that they did. So here's a little bit of the legacy that the Rosh left with the son, Rabbi Yehuda, writes about his father. So, okay, so this brings us now, so we go, Rabbi Yisai, to the Or Chaim. Chaim over here, of course, we're still in Yom Rishon. And what we're doing now is on page Zion, Daf Zion. And this is Sif Tes in our Or Chaim. It's Sif Tes, Yom Rishon. Right, so the Rosh says here, among the many, many different hanogis of a Yid, so the Rosh says, Shol yechane lechaveroi. The Rosh says, be careful, do not give someone a nickname. Do not give someone a nickname. Shol yechane lechaveroi. So there's two things. First of all, you should not be the one to give someone a nickname. We're talking about something that could embarrass someone. But then, even if someone else gave him a nickname to someone, doesn't mean that you have to call him by that name. So two things. You shouldn't be the one to nickname someone. And also you shouldn't use a nickname that others have already given. Right, you call somebody Ichvei Shori, Ichvei, so you call him Jinji, Ichvei, so yeah. So sometimes in time a person may even get used to it. But if it's really a bezoindig situation, if it's a type of a bezoindig situation, you have to be careful and don't use it. Because based upon a Gemara, we see that Chazal, particularly when it comes to Kinu Hashem, to really nicknaming someone in a way which is not bekovedig becomes very, very serious. Very serious, as you'll soon see. So the Rosh says again, Shol yechan lechaveroi, do not give someone a nickname. And also do not call him in a kinu, in a nickname, substitute name, shekinu acherim, even if others did. See, the interpretation, basically how the Tosfos Yontif interprets it, shlo yechanu lechaverim is you don't give the nickname, and also do not call, shlo yekreenu bikinui, shekinu acherim. Also you don't call and use the nickname that others have given. Im lo ye niskar v'nichbad b'shmoi. Unless he says by this nickname, this is really something that's going to elevate the honor and the prestige of a person. So this is the situation, right, that the Rosh talks about nicknames. So if you see a little bit about nicknames, you see, because again, the Rosh here in the Sefer want to make sure everybody's able to learn it very quickly. That's why we said that, you know, this is capable to finish it really in 1 week. As we see that the Toysont have divided it, Yom Rishon, Yom Sheni, Yom Shlishi, each day of the week to learn it. So therefore we brought down a little bit to elaborate on what the Rosh is saying, as we have here on the sheet, that we have to go take a look a little bit. Let's take a look here. First of all, the first item that we have here on the sheet happens to be from the Ponovich Rav. Ponovich Rav, of course, Yosef Shlomi Kahneman, of Kahneman. Because interesting is, because when they had a Yarchi Kala, which had every year, they had a Yarchi Kala in Ponovich, and they used to learn Or Chaim of the Rosh. And the Ponovich Rav also gave some insights, you know, into the various particular situations of the Rosh. So here we have this piece, this first tickle that we have, is actually from the Ponovich Rav, which was Shiyure Yarchi Kala. And interesting is, in one of the editions of the Orchis Chaim that was reprinted, because there are many different editions, so they actually put in some of those Perushim and the Chidushim of the Ponovich Rav on the Orchis Chaim. So this again, this first piece is from the Ponovich Rav. Let's take a look. The words of the Orchis Chaim, again, the Rosh says, Shliachan Hashem L'chaveroi, right? Do not give someone a substitute name, and also Shlo Yikra'enu Bikinui Shekinuhu Achem, and don't call him by a nickname, a substitute that others have called him. So he brings the following Gemara. It's actually a frightening Gemara. Look at the Gemara. It's a Gemara above Messiah, as you're going to soon see, Daf Nun Ches, Amud Beis. The Gemara says like this, B'Gemara Yisa Kol HaYerdim L'Gehenem Oilem. The klal is that everyone or anyone who ends up in Gehenem, but the fact is, eventually he comes up. Kol HaYerdim L'Gehenem Oilem. Chutz Megimel. You hear that? There are three who never get out of Gehenem. She Yerdim Venem Oilem. Habo Alayshesish. Someone commits adultery. V'Amalbin Penei Chaveroi Berabim. Imagine, look at the equation. Haman is basically, if you embarrass somebody, you're malm penei chaver barabim, v'machan hashem ra l'chaveroi. Or by simply, right, substituting someone by giving him a shame ra, something which is going to embarrass him, something which is a shame ra. Of course, when the Gemara says over here that it's that these people would go to Gehenem, they don't come to him, by court providing that they didn't do tshuva. Because when you don't do tshuva, so a person goes to Gehenem, but eventually the Gehenem will purify that person. These three, if you didn't do tshuva, it says, then they are destined for Gehenem. If you do tshuva, then of course that's something that takes care of all the problems. But we're talking about here where a person did not do tshuva while he was alive, and the Gemara is asking a question. You realize the last two really are different examples of the same thing. Because if you're embarrassing someone, that's called malum penei chaveri barabim. You're embarrassing someone. What's the second one? Someone means giving someone a bad name, right? A shameful name. Well, that's embarrassing. Isn't that the same thing? The underpinnings of both are the same thing. So why do we have to count them as three things? The last two really are one and the same. So the Gemara asked the question, Mechane Haine Malbin. Giving someone a shameful name is the same thing as embarrassing him. So we already said Malbin Pnei Chaveroi. Why are we adding another one? Even though he's already used to that name. In other words, someone started calling him by an embarrassing name. And eventually, this became known by that name. So now, when you call him that name, he's not going to be embarrassed again. Like, he's already been through it so often. But nevertheless, it's a shameful name. So the Gemara said, it's not the same as Malbim Pnei Chaver. Malbim Pnei Chaver means what? That you're actually embarrassing him. Machanah Shem Ra L'Chaver means even if he already has that name for a long time, in the beginning he may have been embarrassed, but when you're saying it now, today, he's not being embarrassed anymore. But nevertheless, it's not appropriate to call him by that name. You should not call him. The Gemara says, Avagav de Dosh Be Kloimer. The Gemara means, Aval Pishayne Malbim Ponavachshav. Even though, by calling him, by this nickname, by the substitute name, he's not going to get white, he's not going to turn white, he's not going to feel embarrassed at this point. Mekolmokim, nevertheless, Kim Shemachana Loishayim, Eina Oilam Again. It's a half of a fellow thing. It's an unbelievable thing how serious it is. So the Ponovich Rav wants to explain, why is this, okay, we can understand it's an avla, but why is this such a serious situation that you're saying you're not going to get out of Gehenem? What is really the depth of this avla, calling someone, right, a substitute name, which happens to be a shem ra? But why is it so, so terrible? Ubir ha'inyan hu. So the Ponovich Rav says, Sha'abayra Yizborach Nosam L'chol Dovar V'Dovar Shibor Boilon. Kodesh Baruch Hu actually gave names to everything that he created in this world. And there's a reason why he gave names. He didn't give names merely just to identify it. To know this is called a table, this is called a chair, this is called so and this is called that. Kodesh Baruch Hu gave names to everything that was created. Shenema says, L'chulam Shem Oishikra. Kodesh Baruch Hu gave names to everything in the Bria. Why? We're talking about the Lashon Kodesh words that make up the name. Mipnei Shehu Yizborach Mefarish Bozeh, because by the Lashon Kodesh letters, by the Hebrew letters that form the name of an item, those words basically are actually Mefarish Bozeh. It really defines as Toichen Umahus HaDover. It means it really defines what the item actually is. In other words, Odom was called, right? Odom, Nosen Shem Odom, Kilukach Minu Adomo. So Odom is not just a name to call him Odom, it defines his essence. All of the names basically are not just names. If a sus is called a sus, there's a reason why his horse happens to be samach vav samach. Because in these letters, it defines the essence of what this happens to be. And if it's a kelev, it's chov lamed beis. It's not just to call him, why don't you call a dog a bear or a bear? Because kelev chov lamed beis, these letters define the essence of this particular animal. When you change a name, you are actually rearranging, he says, the essence of that item. By changing the name, you're not just changing a name. Therefore, you're redefining the whole essence of that item, points out the Ponovitcherov, which, by the way, what he's saying is an old Yesoid. He's applying it to here. He says, again, V'choin, v'chol ha-shemois, same thing is true by all names. Hashem, hu ha-toichin, shal mitzias ha-chefetz. The name is not just something identifying something. Okay, we're going to call it this way. The name was given particularly, the original names of everything in creation. Shemesh is called Shemesh. Why couldn't you? What would be so bad if the Levana would be called Shemesh? Right? And let's call the sun, we'll call it Levana. My nafkim in it. Right? From now on. So we'll know. When you say Levana, I'll know we're talking about the sun. No, it's not just being to identify what you're talking about. Levana, Lamed, Beis, Nun, Hey. These letters define the essence of what moon is. And Shemesh, Shin, Mem, Shin, right? That defines what the sun is all about. These are the letters that define what it is. So the Shem is actually, this is the Toichim. It encapsulates, right, the whole essence of the item. So now if you go, right, and you shamefully, right, you go ahead and you change the name of a person, you're not changed the essence of that person. It's not just you added some sort of a name. The chumras hadover, and therefore what is so serious about it, because he now has changed the heavier is the most mitzvah olam. You have changed really the essence of that person, and now you have given him, right, a totally different mitzvah, a totally different essence. Okay, so I want to show you something. We're talking about that. It's something we may have mentioned once when I wanted to buy Shalashudis, maybe we mentioned it, and possibly in a shir. And now take a look at this, and you'll see it over here in writing. We talked about it, I'm sure, once on a Shabbos morning, I believe, maybe before Musaf, in a drush before Musaf, and that is that there was different schools of thought regarding something which is an accepted practice. So let's not think. I'm not saying here anything lahalocha lemaisa, but let's let you know there are different really very serious, different opinions regarding Mahogim. When someone is very, very seriously ill, and it's acceptable, right, it's acceptable that a name, right, is added. A name is added. The idea of adding a name means, because here again, when you add a name, so what's what you add a name? So how's it going to help the sick person? How's it going to help the sick person? Because if you add a name, it's not just you add a name. You change, it's not the same person. Because the name defines the person. The gzeir of becoming sick when a shemayim was on this person. By adding a name, he didn't just add a name. They're redefining the person. So the original gzeir that was supposed to be, right, let's say gzeir was Shimon is supposed to be sick. But if you add a name, Chaim Shimon, just whatever it is, it's not just you added a name. But Chaim Shimon is a different person than Shimon. Actually, you know what the Rambam says when a person does tshuva? Look at the Rambam, Hilchos Tshuva. The Rambam says when a person does tshuva, he changes himself, right? He changes himself internally. He changes himself internally. He says, Mishana Shimoy, as if to say, he says, I'm not the same person that was Choyt anymore. I'm not the same person. Actually, I'm a totally different person. And therefore, if that's what's happening, that if you change a person's name, you're not just changing his name, you're actually changing the essence of a person. So therefore, they were great people, starting from Rebbe Mechel Zlotchever, which is very sad. Rebbe Mechel Zlotchever, as you realize, was from the was a Talmud still of the Baal Shem Tov. Very interestingly enough. Rebbe Mechel Zlotchever was one of the great, great tzaddikim, really. It was Nifter in 1781. And he was known as Zlotchever Magid. As a matter of fact, they say that he was Nifter out of Dveikus Bashem, because when he davened, his Avodas Hashem, was his neshama became so connected to Kodesh Baruch Hu that Poshet he just left the guf. And that's what it was by Shalashudas by Minchet. That's when he departed. He departed from this world. Because his Avodas Hashem was so close that he became so connected that his neshama Poshet could not contain itself. The guf was not able to hold his neshama. As Manfred used to say the same thing about Rebbe Meilach. Rebbe Meilach, when he by the Kedusha of Keser, by Musaf, used to hold a gold watch. He needed something Gashmiyazdik to keep his neshama in. He had to be connected with something that's Gashmiyazdik. Because if you become totally spiritual, his neshama might totally leave. So he had pushed it, he had a watch in his hand, a gold watch in his hand, that he should be connected to this world, not allow his neshama to totally separate from the goof. So Rabbi Mechel Zlotchev has said that it is also to change someone's name when he is sick. Unless you're a Baal Ruach HaKodesh, that you know that the name that you are giving, but, right, has a shaykhis to this Shairish Neshama. If you know about the Neshama of a person, if you're great enough to read and to recognize the Neshama of a person, in other words, a name has to be compatible with a person's Neshama. And if you don't have Ruach HaKodesh, and you're going to change somebody's name, you know what? You may kill him. You know why? Because the chiyus, the life force of a person, he says, is connected to his name. And sometimes when you have a very sick person, maybe the only reason he's still hanging on is because of his name. Because the name is a life force of a person. By changing his name, think to make it better, you're taking away that which may be the sole reason why he's still alive anyway, to begin with. So you think you're making it better by changing them, you may make it all worse. Unless you're about Ruach HaKodesh. So the fact is, there are, because the Mekovim, let's say, in square taki, they don't change the name. They don't go by that taki. And you hear, I'm going to show you right now over here. If you take a look here, the second item we have, this taki from the Sefer called Toiris HaMagid Mezlotchev. So basically, it's gleaned from all different places, Toiris from the Zlotchev HaMagid. First, they bring down as follows there. First of all, it brings down the Sefer called Zikaron Zois. Zikaron Zois is a Sefer from the Chois of Lublin. So the Sefer Zikaron Zois in Parshas Noach writes, Shomati Maharav HaMagid Mezlotchev, right? Sheyichye, Ki Hashem Shol Ha'odom Hu Levush L'chiyo Shaloi. The Magid said that the name of a person, that's just a name, he's called Shimon. Shimon, basically, that's his essence, and that is his life force. That is the Levush. That is something, that's the Levush, that is like the Beged, right? This is the Beged, this is like the pipeline of his life force. Now, V'ayim Be'er Ma'im Chaim, in the Sefer Be'er Ma'im Chaim, which is in Parshas Bereishis, the Sefer Be'er Ma'im Chaim was, of course, as you know, was known as Reb Chaim Chernovitzer. He was a Talmud of Reb Mechel Zlotchev. He was Nifter in 1813. He wrote the famous Sefer, among others, Sidur Shel Shabbos, which is a Sefer which is based upon a lot of Zohar HaKodesh, extremely, it's a Kedushin Sefer, somebody who really wants to have some sort of a real understanding what the Kedushin of Shabbos is about. You can't really have a really in-depth understanding if you don't go through the Sefer Sidur Shel Shabbos. Some parts of it are probably too high to understand, but a lot of it is something that could relate to a lot of people who would be able to understand it. It's a Sefer totally talking about Kedushin Shabbos and every aspect of it, everything what Shabbos is all about. And one of the famous stories about him is that he once rented a particular apartment, and so the landlord, of course, knew who he rented it to, and it comes out that on a Shabbos day he sees a strange person walking into the apartment of the new tenant. So he says, this is rented out to somebody else. Until he started talking to him, he recognized it's the same person. How was Shabbos? He had took on totally different. So the Kiddush of Shabbos changed his features. Shabbos, he looked like a different person. He was not the same person the weekdays of Shabbos. They say he was a head taller, they say. this was the Reb Chaim Chernovitzer. So he writes in the Sefer Be'er Ma'im Chaim, he writes as follows in Parshas Bereishis. Look what he writes. The Ikar Kriya Shema Shalodon Hoyahakal Nefesh Chayo. In other words, right? The Pesuk says, Kol Asher Yikroi Ho'odom Nefesh Chayo Hu Shemoi. Remember the Pesuk in Bereishis? Nefesh Chayo Hu Shemoi. He said, that's what it means. The Nefesh Chayo, which is the soul of his life, that's his name. So look what he said. The name, he says, really, that is really the quality of the neshama, and the life force of a person is the name. Va'alkein, therefore, Shemati, I heard mipi Adoni Moiri Rabbi, Nezer Yisrael, the crown, he says, of Klal Yisrael, the Kedoshoi, Oyer Oilam Hamafursim, Moreinu Rabbi Yechiel Mechel. That's the Magid, that's the Zlotchev HaMagid that we're talking about. Zechut Tzadik V'Kodesh L'Vrocha L'Chayu El Mabot. She'om Ali, you heard it directly, he said to him. She'om Ali Beferish. She'cholilo L'shamnes Shem Odom HaKoyle. That was his opinion. Again, not everybody goes with that. But this is what he said. Cholilo L'shamnes Shem Odom HaKoyle. Soon we'll show you some other pshat in that. But he said, cholilo to change, imloy Odom She'kol Masov Kemat Baruch HaKoydish. The only one who has a license to change somebody's name is not the Gabbai in the shul. But the one who has the license to change, if you're a Baal Ruach HaKodesh, that you know that the new name is going to be compatible with this person's neshama. That's the one he says. Imloy Odom, if not a person, should call Masa, whatever he does is Kamat Bruch HaKodesh. Ki Shem HaNikrol Odom Beis Hivoldoi, because that name was given to a person at the time of his birth. Vadai Rubai Kekulim is Dalam Beis HaKodesh Baruch. Look what he said. Okay, you might ask him a simple question. He already answers it. Yeah, simple question is, if a name really is the life force of a person, right? And you have to know, right? Yeah, if you want to change your name, you have to know the essence of a person, the Shoma. So how is it possible that a father at a bris, he's not a real Baal Ruch HaKodesh, because he might be Yisrael and he says a name. If the name really is supposed to define the essence of a person, if the name is supposed to be the life force of a person, so how come that anybody just can give a name to begin with when a child is born? So he says, the real is HaKadosh Baruch Hu puts the name in your mind. In other words, you have, you know, a husband and wife sitting in the hospital, you know, giving birth. Hey, should we give after the Zaydah? Should we give it after the uncle? Should we give after this? So they make all kinds of cheshbonos. And they come to a conclusion. The conclusion was HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants you to make that conclusion. They think that they calculate with their own seichel. HaKadosh Baruch Hu plants into your mind all the different, yeah, this way, until you come. So the end result is, that's what he says. The end result is, HaKadosh Baruch Hu Mizdamen Meis HaKadosh Baruch Hu Kasha Hu Shmoi Lamalo. Now, every neshama has a name in Shemayim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu makes sure that that name is going to be given down here. V'hu Chiyusoy Shel Odom. And that is the Chiyus. That is the life force of a person. Kol Yomov. So the name that's given at birth, that is the life force of this person till 120 years old, he says. As long as he's alive in this person. Vini now. So if a person needs a life force, a person who's sick needs even a stronger life force. He needs chizik more. He's so fragile, he needs chizik more. And sometimes the only thing that's keeping him alive is his name. Now you're going to change it. You're even taking that away too, because you don't know what name to give him. So he says, "Vim oikrinoyse." Now, if you take away that name, kederach sheoimrim, as we say, umato lo Yaakov yikorei shemecho, like Yaakovino's name, right? And so on. Vashem Hasheni efshe kiloi mechiusayhu v'nisha beloi marzik hachius sheloi. So again, as you see here, again, what a name is. So you can understand a little better what the Ponovich Rav said. I mean, it would have been very happy if you would have had, brought these sources. But you machan Hashem ra lechaveroi, you're really redefining the whole mitzvah of this person. That's why it's not just time you gave him another name, especially giving him a Shem Ra. So you're certainly, not just giving him a name, but you're actually really adding, connecting something to him to redefine him in a terrible way. And that's why we find such things that Chazal is saying, such a serious thing, and which the Rosh also tells us here, to be careful, again, be Mechan Hashem L'Chaveri. So take a look here in the third item, something what the B'nai Soscher himself writes. B'nai Soscher writes it in the following, B'nai Soscher, you know, also a sefer called Agra de Pirka. And B'nai Soscher, Hatzadik, this is in a sefer called Admoy Rebels, but it's not important. That just happened to be printed there. I've seen it in other places as well. But it's befitting to have it from this sefer. Hatzadik Rav Tzvi Elimelech Medinif. Okay? So this is B'nai Soscher. B'nai Soscher, the Bluj of Azaydeh. Right? So Kosef, what does he write? B'sifroi, look what he writes. Now, B'nai Soscher writing not something that he thinks, what he saw. What do you think the B'nai Soscher saw? Be'eineinu ra'inu. With our own eyes we saw Mikvoid Admor Harav HaKodesh Melublim. The B'nai Soscher, right? B'nai Soscher used to travel, right? And was a Talmud of the Chayz of Lublin. With our own eyes we saw Shekasher Hoye Koire Haksav Shem was B'nai Odom. Like people used to write a kvittel. So in the kvittel, where in the kvittel? Right? You write the name of a person. We saw when the Chayz of Lublin looked at a kvittel and looked at a name, right? When he saw the shame of B'nai Yodim Shekoz V'loi, Hoi Mizboinen Beruach Kosher with Shemach HaKosher, he was able to tell the whole essence of the person, never knowing the person, never having seen the person, just seeing his name on the kvittel. He would be able, he says, to recognize Maisa Ho'ish Imzoch Vim Yosher Poloi, he would know this person is an El Chayit, this person is an upstanding person, Oy Lehepach HaZishon, he would know this is a Tzadik or is a Rosha, simply by looking at the name. So the Maisa goes into the Shem Shmuel brings in a place, he says, that they brought a kvittel. So I'm not sure if they wanted to test the Chayz Mulbin, but the Maisa, they brought a kvittel of an Odom Rosha, the name of an Odom Rosha, to the Chayz Mulbin. And Chayz looks at it, and he says, this Neshom is a Bal Madrege. This Neshom Bal Madrege. So they could not believe it. because they knew that this is a setup. This is the name of another Moshe. So the Shem Shmuel writes, it turns out that at the time that the Chozim Oblin was writing, was reading that Kvittel, this so-called Odom Rosha, it could be a Rosha, but he was lighting Chanukah candles. So the Shem Shmuel is on Chanukah. They came, they told him, Chozim Oblin says, oh, so when the Yid lights Chanukah candles, the Koich of Ner Chanukah is to uplift, because Ner is Neshoma. What's Ner? Chanukah. Ner is Chanukah. Ner Hashem Nishmas Odom. When you're lighting Ner, it's Chanukah especially, the oils are, at that moment, he said, the Neshoma becomes uplifted. I read the Kvittel, it was at that time. So that's the thing. So Kaplan, you see, so he's right again. Because he happened to be lighting Ner Chanukah. And Ner Chanukah, that Neshoma was on a high level. And so this is what he's saying. So he said, we saw that when the Rebbe of Oblin, he would read the Kvittel, he would be able to recognize everything. Now, so being as this sefer happens to be from Admoire Belz, so they write about Rabbi Aaron Belzer, the previous Belzer Rebbe. Shemati kam upon me mikvoit kedushas mora on Moreno Rabban, Rabbi Aaron Belzer. Sheomer al Oviv Atzadik. Now he's talking about his father. Okay, the father of Rabbi Aaron was Rabbi Sochadoiv of Belz. That right? Shal yidei hapiske, when you gave him a kvittel and he saw the name Shegishloi hikir eso odo mikol tzedodov. He recognizes totally everything about that person. So Moran, he says, Rabbi Arla used to say many things. Dvorim nefloim, Mamish, looking at a kvittel, you'd be able to say. He says, Mamish says astounding things by looking at a kvittel. And he said, people think that this is a moifis. This is some sort of a miracle. Not a miracle. It's coded. The name of a person is a code. You have to know how to decipher the code. He said, if you know how to decipher the code, it's not a miracle. It's all code. All the things, the spiritual genetics of a person is in that name. If you're able to read, if you're able just to read it, he said, then you read it. It's not a miracle, he said, that I know all these things. It's in the name, he says. And that was the koyach, again, of what is a name. So, what I want you to look at is, here, look on the left side, number 6. This is from the Berach Moshe. A beautiful thing that we're talking about. And actually bringing down some of it with Hoyt's office. This is from the Friedrich Satmar Rebbe, the Berach Moshe, not Rabbi Yoel, but the one after him, right? So it brings as follows. Look at this. This is in Parashat Shemois, in the Berach Moshe. He says, Hine moida azois is known mipisforim v'soifrim goidel. He says, Chin Erkom Shel Shemes Bnei Yisrael. It is known from Sfarim, he says, the tremendous chashivas, the tremendous importance of the Jewish names, right, of the Jewish people. Asher hi shoyrish nishmosom umikur chayosom. The name, the Jewish name of a Yid, right, that really is defines, it's connected to his neshama, and that's the source of his life force. Now, he brings down Mamish, what we had before, again, the Kosav, he says, Beber Maim Chaim, and he brings from the Ber Maim Chaim, Parshas Bereishis, Sheshoma mepi Rav HaKodesh, HaRebbe Rechil Mechel Mezloshev, the Mahai Tama, for that reason, being that the Neshoma, right, is connected to the name, so therefore he said, Cholilu Lashanu Shem Odom HaKoyle, Imloi Odom Shekol Maisa Bruch HaKodesh, unless the person has Bruch HaKodesh, why can it not be changed? Ki Shem HaNikro Odom Beis Yivoldoi, Rubik Yikulim Mizdame Mizu Kodesh Baruch Hu, because the name that is given at the time of birth, HaKodesh Baruch Hu, makes sure that this name is given. Because that is the same name, Kashu Shemay Lamala. The Ruchayuso is Shalodam Koyomov. Vine Achoyle Vadetor Chizik Beyosa, Kachoyle certainly needs extra Chizik. Well, the problem, Eloy Chizik Achas, sometimes he has no other Chizik that's keeping him alive. Kimzea Chizik Shalashem. Vim Oiker Moise. Now, if you are Oiker, if you uproot that name, Nisha Beloy Machzik Achiyushlo, you're taking away his life force. Valze Nemar. And that's what the Posek says in Chumish by Odom Rishon. Vechola Sheyikroloy Ho Odom. Whatever Odom Rishon gave a name, Nefesh Chayo Hushemoy. It means the name that Adam gave was not just a name, but really that defined, and that was the life force of that item. Kloimer, Hushemoy, Vechiyusoy, Lemalo Bemis. Atkan Devorah. So the Berach Moshe brings from Rabbi Yoel, from the Satmar Rebbe. He says that there's a difference. He says if you change a name by changing it totally or merely adding a name. In other words, the Rebbe wanted a Taina. He brings down from the Divrei Yoel, he brings it down over here. Very interesting thing. He says, because of Moron Doidi, he says, my uncle, and the Chayin of Rochab Divrei Yoel, he says, also in Parsha Shemois, the Ulai, he said, maybe. The Ulai Einak Epeda, maybe, he says, the concern is only Kim La'akar Shem Horishin Ulachlifu Be'achar. Maybe Remechaz Lotchev only made, you shouldn't remove totally the first name and switch it with something else. Aval hoisiv oid shem, he says, al hashem harishon, he says, shapir domen. That's possibly it's okay. That would put it in better light, because the meaning oilam, the fact is, we don't remove the original name, but rather we only add names. So according to what he says, the Divrei Yoel, that this might be compatible even with the hakpod of not changing a name. That ikar hakpod of changing a name is only completely changing it, but merely adding possibly. But he's not 100% sure about that. But he says the ulai. He says maybe ena kapeda, only such a situation. Now look further. The chen kozel b'shem ha'arizal. It is also said in the name of the Arizal, and this is from the Mishnah Chasidim. Okay, Mishnah Chasidim is Rabbi Yisai, one of the great Balam Kabbalim, Rabbi Emanuel Chai Riki. That was his name, one of the great, great Balam Kabbalim. And originally he was in Tzfas, and then he came down to Italy. Poshet, he says, to raise money, he says, for the yeshiva in Tzfas. And one of the maises are that he was accosted. He was accosted by someone and who saw who he was, and it was a tremendous son of Yisrael. Actually, he was murdered here in Italy, and his caver is in Bologna, in Italy, and it's a place that not so well known by people, but those who know, it's frequented very, very often, because being one of the great Balaam. Sefer Mishnas Chasidim is a sefer that's accepted in all factions, he says, it doesn't make a difference, Ashkenaz, Sfard, because it's considered to be a very authentic source of the teachings of the Arizal. Okay, the Mechaber again, Rabbi Emanuel Chai Riki. So again, and he writes B'Shem the Arizal as follows, Ki Hashem listen to this. The name that a father calls a son, Bim Amila, HaKadosh Baruch Hu Mazmino B'Pif. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives it to him. Baruch gives it to him. V'shamati Mezokin Echot. He says, I heard from Mezokin. This is the Beruch Moshe writing. Beruch Moshe writes, I heard from Mezokin. He says, Metalmide Kodosh Zekeni HaYetiv Lev. The Yetiv Lev, as you know, was the Zayde. He says, Sheshual. He asked once, he says, a Talmud, right? A Talmud. He says, Medoidi Zekeni Hagoina Kodesh Mishinivin. Now the Shinivin Rav, you know, was the son of the sons of Rav, of the Divrei Chaim. So they once asked the Shinivin Rav, Sheyoy Maloy Ezi Shem Likar Lebnoi Hanoilazon. Happens many times, right? Somebody goes to a Rebbe and says, Rebbe, what name should I give to my son? So it brings over here that there was someone who asked the Shinivin Rav, he said, right, he had a child. He said, what name should I give my son? And the Rebbe didn't want to tell him. You make that decision, because Kesh Baruch Hu gives you the Ruach HaKodesh. Once in your life you have Ruach HaKodesh, use it. So use it, he says. It's given to you. Hashem will give you in your mind what to give. So this is what happened. But anyway, the Maisa goes like this. Here was the Maisa. So he said, Rav HaKodesh Mishinevit. So Rav HaKodesh Mishinevit was Misarev. He refused. And he said, I should tell you what name to give your son. The name that your son is supposed to have, Minashamayim, they reveal it to the father, Minashamayim. But this person was just not satisfied, and he insisted, Rebbe, I want you to give the name. I want you to give the name. So Ochel Enochadato, Ibikish is the Mishamish Bekoidish, and he asked the Gabbai, Sheyafsir is a Rav HaKodesh Mishinevit, that he should insist, you press him, Al Kris Hashem, V'yoydiyehu, Al Yidei Dilegrav, and it should be Medim with some sort of a telegram or something. Right? When the Tekedibris came, Adain Loibosh Shum Tshuva. You know, the telegram did not arrive. You know, those days, things didn't go so fast. So, whatever, the letter, the telegram didn't arrive. So, he wanted the Rebbe to say it. So, Blessed Greater, he himself gave the name. So, Vahika Shigea Yom Abris, and the Tshuva of the Rebbe didn't come. The Hichnis and Sayel, Bivrisha Shalom Avino, because she might be so Moshe. After the Brisha said the telegram arrives, the Rebbe said, give Moshe. That's a give Moshe. That's a give Moshe. So, it was a pella. So here you see, Taki, the Ruach HaKodesh, the father has the same thing as the Rebbe had, was Megala. He said this, so the father was. So interesting thing, so you know, it's a Pasha Shmoy, so the Pasha that we just finished reading this week, where we have, so the Bnei Yisoscha writes, he said, listen to that, Ki Mitam Zeh, listen to this, the Bnei Yisoscha said, we know Pari changes the name, Shifra and Pua, the real names was Yecheved and Miriam. So why did he change the names?
So he says, the Bnei Yisachar says, right in the Mamorim of Chodesh Nissan, Kimitam ze shine pare Yashem Yosef. Yosef's name he changed it, Sofnas Paneach, which literally means the one who reveals all secrets, right? Sofnas Paneach. Sofnas means hidden things. Paneach he can reveal. The shine Hashem Hamiyaldois also changed the name, right, of the midwives. Yocheva the Miriam he changed, Lishifro Pua. Why? Kiyoda, because even Paroi understood, if you change their holy names and you give them substitute names, Yusorim Lamashmoso, he's going to now be able to have a koyach over them, he'll be able to have power over them, the Yifriku Oil Toira Mitzvahs, and he'll be able to remove from them the Oil Toira. They did not listen to him, Pleshino Eshimam, and they did not change the names. So, Kapon Rabbi Yisai, so this is what we have over here. Again, a little bit so we understand, we get to the idea that we're seeing here, what the Rosh is talking about, the Indian of not being Mechane Shem L'Chaver, and not changing names. So, in the next just few minutes, we're just going to mention something. Regarding the sense, the whole idea is together with Malbim Pnei Chaveroi, as we see, the idea being Mechane Shem L'Chaveroi in all the Inyonim. There's a Yid in Brooklyn who told a story about a friend of his, somebody by the name of Rabbi Yosef Geffen. And he said, and this took place many years ago, he's a Talmud in the Vardig Yeshiva. Okay, going back still, it was pre-war times, this is Rabbi Yosef Geffen. Today Rabbi Yosef is here, he's here in America. And as a matter of fact, he's very much in demand to solve people's personal problems. And one can see why, based upon this mice that was told about him when they were Talmidim Yeshiva Navardik, Rabbi Yosef Geffen. The way the mice goes basically is that in Navardik, by the way, you realize Navardik, they were talking about the Rosh Yeshiva Navardik at the time was Rabbi Avraham Yaffin. Rabbi Avraham Yaffin basically passed away in 1970, Rabbi Avraham Yaffin. And he was Rosh Yeshiva, and there was no dormitory facilities for Talmidim. So the way it used to be, so every Talmud really was responsible to try to find some sort of place, you know, where for him to lodge and to maintain his own living quarters. And most of the Talmidim were rented rooms in nearby buildings. It should be as close to the yeshiva as possible. Now, most of the owners of the buildings were more than happy to rent out to have Talmidim as tenants. But the Maizeh turned out that there was one exception. And that was a particular building that was occupied, more than 20 rooms were occupied by Talmidim, and it happened to be owned by a very bitter woman. A very bitter woman had very little use, let's put it this way, for Yeshiva Bochur. And as a result, she happened to be a widow, she was very bitter, her lot was a lot of pain in her life. It was a widow, basically lived with a young son, so every opportunity she had to ridicule the Yeshiva students, she did it. Even though they were tenants, but basically they were giving her panosa. But it was just in her like that. She had a lot of bitterness, which accumulated over periods of time. And every opportunity she ridiculed and she criticized each and every of the Talmidim who rented from her. Matter of fact, it used to be a situation that happened to be on a particular Friday. On a particular Friday afternoon, she turned off the water supply. Turned off water supply, and another situation where she turned off some electric, and the harassment became mamish too much to bear. So little by little, the Talmidim just they stopped the renting from her. In other words, they left, and even though it would happen to be quite convenient to close to the yeshiva, but the abuse was not worth it, and mamela. So therefore, they simply it was not worth the trouble of living there, and that's why they went to find quarters elsewhere. So they began to seek new quarters, and it dwindled down mamish to a precious few of them. But she still didn't change her ways. She just couldn't. This was the way she was. She was so bitter. The few that were left, she still ridiculed them. She criticized them and gave them a very hard time. And you have to realize that her income also suffered very greatly. The fact that so many Talmidim left. The rooms were left empty. Nobody wanted to go and rent from her. But nothing changed. She still continued in the same way that she was. With a short time, all the boys moved out. Everybody except this person we're talking about, Yosef Geffen, who's in Brooklyn today. This Yosef Geffen, where someone did not move away. So it happened to be a particular morning as this Yosef was coming home from shul and he was carrying his tefillin and he had a sefer. And he noticed that this nasty woman, she was actually walking towards him. And as soon as she saw him, in the distance, she started to yell. And she says, You have to be crazy. Why are you staying here?
Man, the one person that already stayed, he says, you have to be crazy, he says. Why are you staying here? Can't you see that all of the boys have left? And says, what's the idea with that you're staying? Why are you leaving here? He said, why do you insist? And why don't you get out just like the others do? So the one person that she had. So he pauses for a moment, then he says to the woman, and he says to her, you know why I stay here? I stay here for your sake. He says, I realize that you live alone. I realize you're an elderly woman, and I'm afraid that one night, he said, you may either fall, you may become ill. He says, and you'll call out for help, and there'll be nobody to hear your cries. Understand? He says that when you are yelling at us, you probably are letting out some very, very deep frustrations that are hurting you. And I know you're a widow, you're struggling to support yourself. I felt it was proper for me to stay, he said, just in case you might ever need, he says, my help. But she could not believe it. This is the last thing that she expected, to hear from this boy. So the nice, interesting thing is, she was so flabbergasted, or she was so astounded, that literally things change around. She falls to her knees, and she looks up at the yeshiva bocher, and she begins to plead, and she says, forgive me, he says. Never dawned on me, he said, that was the reason you were staying. He said, how gracious of you, and so on and so forth. Later in the day, she came to apologize again. And again, she in days afterwards, continues, she didn't say anything, only just kind words. And slowly the words got around that she was no longer as bitter and nasty as she was. So eventually all the rooms again were filled. But even though this Yosef continued to live there, he would always use a side entrance. He tried not to face her. And the reason was because he didn't want to embarrass her, because every time she saw him, she would ask mechila. And for that alone, he said, he didn't want to put in a position that she'd have to feel so sorry for herself of what she did to him. So the interesting thing is, he didn't want to put her in an embarrassing position. So here again goes how a person go out of the way, right, to avoid someone, right, that shouldn't have to feel embarrassed at having to ask mechila, because they know that she would keep apologizing. That was she felt so sorry. So Shlomo HaMelech says in Pesuk, Mane rach Yosef chema. In Mishlei, a soft reply, right, repels anger. Well, you know, it's a soft reply, but a soft reply takes strength of character to be so soft. So this person happened to be sort of like a therapist. I don't think he's licensed, but the sensitivity that he has is someone who people seek questions advice because they know that he really understands human nature and so on and so forth. That is it. Okay, Rosa.